is cheated. And the first thing I would like to say is to beg those handling our children, I know they're very tender. Please, let's coordinate them so well. Truly, if you command them, they may likely go over the service. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. All right, we are still talking about the doctrines of Jesus and the basics of Christianity. And for some time now, we've been on the issue of the very first principle or doctrine, which has to do with salvation. You know, we are talking about six doctrines according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. So it talks about the doctrine of repentance, faith, baptism, laying of hands, resurrection, and judgment. And if we are going to escape judgment, then we have to take very seriously the very first principle, which has to do with repentance or new birth or salvation. Whatever name you choose to give it, it is still the same thing. And you remember that in the Word of God, 2 Chronicles 5:17, it says that if anyone is in Christ, it refers to this new birth. It says it's a new creation. So this is what made everything new, actually. Until a man comes to the new birth, you are living old life. You are living the old way, actually. Hallelujah. And then you know our God is God of new things. He's a God of new things. He's a old things are passed away. So when anyone has not come into the new birth, really, you are passing away. Glory to Jesus. So, it's so important that we understand the issue of salvation very well. And I will trust the Lord to help us come into this very critical part, which has to do with assurance of salvation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sorry, media. This is what is going out. This is dragging so much. God will help us. Okay, so last week, the Holy Spirit called a dimension that it's only God that can explain it, yet still dealing with the issue of salvation. But then it come in a very manner that is just so direct. I wasn't following my the way I've, you know, planned things to be. Okay, so media, you have my preaching plan, so you can follow. You can follow and trust Holy Spirit to help me bring the mind of God to us in the name of Jesus. Right, so is our family and relationship Sunday. And you know how it is. If you take these two things very seriously, your relationship, your family and relationship life, you are really, really good. Okay, so let me go back a bit to last week. So we're looking at what is it that brought Jacob to his sunset. And Of course, we are talking about sunrise this month. And my prayer is that God will bring you indeed to your sunrise. Can I hear your other amen? To sunset. So we realize that Genesis 28, it was called which is Adam. He needed to actually run away. Otherwise, your mother. So he needed to, she needed to arrange, and then she was able to influence her husband. And I really want you to take note of that. You know, it was the mother who. Of course, swear to take what does not belong to him. The blessing belongs to his brother. Are we together, please? And in fact, she actually said that whatever cause that ought to come on her, let on her. Are we together? So, it was our own idea. My father was not in the know. So by the time Isaac heard the venison, certainly from his own beloved son Esau. So by the time Esau come back and he heard the voice of Esau, he realized, oh, he has been manipulated. And the originator of all of that was not even Jacob. It was the mother. So meaning that something is wrong in our family and everything go wrong to the extent that there are only two sons, though twins, they are ready to kill one another. And then the woman, unknown to the man, had to again manipulate the man and said, well, I think we need a better marriage for Isaac, I mean for Jacob. And then, of course, she did not tell the husband her very reason why Jacob has to go to Laban. All Jacob could, I mean Isaac now, I beg your pardon, all Isaac could understand why he has to agree for us so that he can get a good wife. Glory to Jesus. And so both parents agreed and said, okay, let him go, and he left. So Jacob left. Himself knew, of course, being in the known with the mother, that I just have to run away now from my brother. So that was the more reason why Jacob had a son set at that time. Genesis 28. And God was trying to, in that same Genesis 28, bring him into the covenant he had with Abraham. Yet because something is wrong with the relationship he had, so it becomes so difficult for him to hear God. You remember scripture says that men, be careful. Deal wisely with your own wife so that your prayers will not be hindered. How many of you have read that in your Bible? Thank you. That there is a way when a man's relationship with people around him is so severe, then it becomes difficult for you to, not that you won't hear God,
Of course, you pray. But scripture says so that your prayer will not be hindered. So there is a way when your human relationship is severe, it hinders your relationship with God. That is just scripture. So if you say, or if any man think my relationship with people doesn't matter, then invariably you are saying that you don't care about your relationship with God. Now, I think one of the reasons is this, because whatever God wants to do with us or through us, our human relationships matters. It matters. So, because of this severe relationship Jacob had with his own brother, of course, don't forget the fact that it is his twin brother. I would like to emphasize that. So whether you're, no matter how close people may be to you, if you have not learned to live in the agape love of God, you will undo yourself. Are we together, please? You will think it's all about that person. But if you are not careful, devil is going to take that advantage in your life. So you must ensure that you are at peace with all men. You know, there is a following scripture recommended. I think Hebrews 12:14. It says, follow peace with all men. No, there is a following we follow with Jesus. When Jesus called, we say, follow me. But then there is a following that has to do with people around your life. So you don't only follow God. You also ensure that in your following or your relationship with people, it is peaceful. You peacefully coexist with people. As much as it lies in you. So, for Jacob, he had it so bad that for over 20 years of his life, because of the severe relationship with his brother, he actually missed God's plan. Now, you remember that originally, he is the carrier of the covenant. You still remember? Originally, before they were ever born, God has chosen him. So listen, you walk with God to the point that you know his mind for your life. You are not hiding what others have. You are not jealous of people. You are not jealous of what others have that you don't have. Are you getting me? If you do, you are going to miss even that which you have. Now, it is like this. You have something. But this competitive spirit will not allow you to see that which you have. It blindfolds you, your eyes, to that which you have. Are we together, please? Am I making sense unto you? Spirit of competition, it blindfolds your eyes to that which you have. You can't see it. But then you are hiding what others have. So eventually, you end up losing what you have. Now, who is taking it? Nobody is taking it. But it's on use. Why? You cannot see it. You cannot see the benefit. And all day, you are just there eyeing what you can never get. Can I tell you this? There are things you can never get, no matter how much you pray. Why? It is not given to you. It's not part of what God has for you. So, what brought Jacob into that mess was because
He was trying to get by force what he does not have.
And the focus since last week and today is the fact that this thing happened in the family setting. So today, I will continue in that direction, and I will a bit digress with what I titled, because of peculiarity of this service, being our family relationship Sunday, the essence of salvation in family life and prosperity. The essence of salvation in family life and prosperity. If our family is going to be what God has ordained it to be, and we are going to be prosperous, then every member of the family must have salvation experience. I'd like to tell you that salvation experience cannot be generalized. It's an individual experience. You cannot assume it. My dad is saved, so I'm saved. No. Otherwise, that person in the family that has not experienced the regeneration of the spirit will certainly become the bad egg in the family and can actually put every member of the family in a mess. I'm telling you. So don't just be happy, satisfied when you alone you are saved. You will be saved when every member of your family are saved. Did you get that? You will be saved. S-A-F-E. When every member of your family are saved, have experienced salvation. Whatever is coming from them, you will be sure this is God. So look at all of that that Jacob did, and then he had me on the run. 20 years plus, he returned home with fear. And until he settled matter with his brother, he will not get the blessing of God. Did you remember in chapter 32? He was saying, God bless me. So meaning that salvation precedes blessing. No matter what a man gets outside salvation, it is not blessing. Riches outside salvation is not blessing. Why? It will come with certain fear. Can I tell you this? That salvation comes with security. And I hope I'm going to get here today. The security of salvation is assurance, the assurance of salvation. That's the security of salvation. You know, David said something. He said, Psalm 23 now, verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Just salvation guarantee peace. That's the security. You are just sure. That's why the storm on this way. Even when you make mistakes, how many of you know that we make mistakes? So Peter says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. Are you getting me? Romans said one. No condemnation. One of the reason why I lack assurance of salvation is the consciousness of sin. Yeah, I've made this mistake, fine, but not intentionally. Lord, I'm sorry. And you are sure that it's your father. He has heard you. He has forgiven you. But there are many in the past. So each time they come to pray, the same sin they have asked God for forgiveness in.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
The same sin they have asked God for forgiveness 10 years ago,
they will still come back to it.
10 years ago. You have addressed that matter 10 years ago. You have bought it 10 years ago. You've restituted. You said, God, forgive me. He has forgiven you. That's all. He can't remember it. Before you got married, you have aborted. You have made certain mistakes. Now you are married. You cannot conceive. And therefore, he said, it is because of what you did in the past. No, it's not. God has forgiven you.
Well, that may come with certain repercussions. Probably you have damaged certain part of your reproductive system.
If I know that, that's a hero. It's not in this evening. But for you to, that is the repercussion, the effect of your sin. But that doesn't mean God has not forgiven you. It's listening to me. Doesn't mean God has not forgiven you.
So for Jacob, the Lord forgave him. And he had that sunrise again. That is why I know for somebody, under the sound of my voice, God is going to cause a sunrise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the word of Genesis chapter 16. Let's look at another family in line with today, Family and Relationship Sunday. And then let's see the connection of salvation to what God has for a family. All right, I read Genesis 16, verse 1, and probably I will read verse 2 also. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bear him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Okay, let me read maybe one or two more verses. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. So I will try to stop at verse 4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. Just like that, so quickly. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Abraham listened to the voice of his wife. Not just the voice of his wife, he listened to the voice of pressure around him. Each of us need to be careful. Each of us, particularly those of us who are married, when there are pressure, be careful that devil do not come into your family through you. That is why let's ensure that every member of our family are married. Me. For the young lady, you are married. God will cancel you. Don't marry. Say the of God. Don't wait until it is time to marry, and then you start to go around with names of who to choose among your suitors or among the ladies. With that action, you are already laying a wrong foundation. I am telling you. I'm telling you. You're already laying a wrong foundation. Because the thing is this. Even if you marry the correct fellow among them, do you have the required knowledge to work with? Now, many things that we think they are limitations to whom to marry, they are actually not. For example, the type, nationality, a background of the fellow, educational qualification. Age, the kind of job the fellow is doing, and so on and so forth. Are you getting me? These are things people bring into consideration. They matter, but they are not the real matter. Did you get what I'm saying? They matter, but they are not the real matter. The real matter has to do with yourself praying for Mr. Right. Are you right yourself? Do you have the salvation experience? Do you have a walk standing with God? Do you have a relationship with God before you are praying that God is going to give you a good man? Are you good yourself? Do you know God? You are praying for the best lady. Are you good to take care of the gift of God to you? Are you good enough? Do you have what it takes? These are what matters. Then, before you get married, what do you know about marriage? How many books have you read about marriage? I used to say this. We go to school, and for the period or being in school, probably say for example, go for your degree, but then first, so you are there for 4 years, 5 years, so courses, 6 7 years plus, you are pursuing course, you are pursuing degree, you are pursuing profession. But when it comes to marriage, don't care. You just jump into it. And people balloon the issue of love. Oh, once you love each other, who tells you that it is love that makes marriage? Some of us that are married, you will agree with me that you really love that guy, you really love your husband, you really love your wife, but there are times you are like, oh boy. How many of you agree to what I'm saying? So, at that point, where is the love? So, for some of us that God is helping, you will discover that it's not the love now, but something which is the knowledge. Me.
walking, you have a highly paid job. Listen, it is your knowledge that got you a highly paid job. So you want to marry to work. It is your knowledge. Knowledge of marriage, knowledge of God, knowledge of yourself, and knowledge of your spouse. Knowledge of what God is doing per time. You are able to understand the seasons of your marriage. Otherwise, if this is not, then the one in that family, whether the man, the woman, or even children, you know, of course, you know the problem. Once either of the man or the woman have his or her salvation, they are going to raise imbalanced children. Take that. They are going to, children are not balanced. Children who are raised with questions. Okay, this is Daddy Jesus and this is Mommy Jesus. Which one should I follow? So it becomes a serious question in the heart of such a child, and not even the church will be able to answer that child until that child and God in ourselves. Now, the way God arranged it is that once the parents live correctly, then they become an example of Christ to that child. What the child can see in the dad is what he's seeing in the mom. So there is a balance, there is oneness. So the child can see one Jesus, one voice, then become very easy for a child to encounter Jesus when it is time for that child to have an encounter. But once this element is missing, are we together, please? Once this element is missing, then the whole family will be in disarray. A quiet one. We all go to church. We watch. Christmas is coming. We all gather at Christmas. We all do as if everything is right. But as time goes on, that shaking foundation will begin to manifest. Have you noticed that by the time everybody is growing, the family is growing, everybody is growing, everybody is having their family, then you find out that what we think to be a bond in our family is not actually there. How many of us understand what I'm talking about? It's not actually there. Why? There's a faulty foundation. So for all of us, we are married. You have to ensure you have this standing with Jesus. Your salvation is secure. And if your spouse, your wife, your husband, is having his or her own salvation questioned, you must make it a point of duty to say, God, save my wife. God, save my husband. Don't say, well, it's up to him. I don't care what happened to him. If you don't care tomorrow, it will become a serious issue. If you don't care today, rather, it will become a serious issue in years to come. The Bible says, Abraham, hearkened to the voice of Sarah. The Bible was so clear that it was the voice of Sarah, not the voice of God. Why? There is a pressure. The woman cannot take it anymore. You know, there are times we do things just to satisfy our spouse. Married people, can I hear your amen? You just want to satisfy your spouse. You want peace. But listen, don't look for peace that will take away the entire peace of your family. Don't. The short-time peace that will take away the long-time peace. No, don't settle for it. Don't settle for it. There are times of pressure in our lives, in our family. It happened in the family of Job. But thank God for Job. Job will not act in to the voice of his wife, because he recognized that is not, that cannot be the voice of God. It would have been good if Abraham too was able to recognize this cannot be God. Why? Number one, this is an Egyptian. Praise God. So how come you settle to marry an Egyptian? Of course, he actually married. Look at verse 3. The Bible says there was a marriage. Sarah now, Abraham's wife, to Hagar, and then gave her husband to Jesus. So there was a marriage conducted in that family. And the pastor over that wedding was Mrs. Sarah. Can you imagine? Be the man wanted to rebels. He doesn't want trouble. Okay, want to pass off, be the pastor. So this man acting to the pastor's wife. So once you act into the voice of a man, you have disobeyed God. Did answer. Is and it's a conception. May devil not answer here. She's not here. Yeah. May it not be from devil. Please help me check anyone sleeping. When anyone is sleeping, you are probably telling me that my preaching is boring, or you are not ready to receive what God has for you. So they got the answer. Please be careful where you get your answer from. Are you following me, please? Be careful where you get your answer from. Don't be so desperate that God must answer you. I write here. Even when you feel God has restrained you from certain answers, not your salvation should restrain you from getting answer when the Lord has not answered you. The Bible says in verse 1 or verse 2, Sarah said, "Behold, now the Lord has restrained me from this answer of becoming a mother." So if you answer my voice and you feel God has also restrained you from certain answer, your knowledge of salvation should also restrain you from getting answer from outside the will of God. Don't be so pressured. Let God be your answer. Whatever God didn't give you, let it stay. If you have to me, say amen. They got the answer. What's it like? Ah, devil has a way of arranging for people. May you not enter into the trap of the devil. Somebody was sharing with me some days ago. He said, he later realized he got into a wrong relationship. But the day he took the lady to the family, of course he knew this is a wrong lady.
In fact, the fellow is a pastor's child. The man is a pastor's child. So I think the lady is from a Muslim background. And then he was thinking, it is me that want to marry her, not my dad, not my mom. So I'm going to change her. So when the parent realized that, they have to like, okay, we have to take it easy with him, and then let's just look for way to work things. Are you getting me? Of course, it wasn't an easy thing. But this is the point I want to make. The day this fellow took this lady home to show the parents, that day he got a job. And in his mind, he said, wow, this must be God. I took her home today. I received a lot for a job appointment that I've been pursuing. Wow, this must be God. I'm praying for you. May the devil not set you up with answers. It took God to bring him out. Then he later realized, God doesn't work that way. The Bible says in verse 4, he went in unto Hagar and she conceived. Just like that. They doesn't need any other prayer. So one might think, that is God. Abi, we just walk it and the thing work. That is God. But later on, uncle, did God answer? Did God say, when you read your scripture, you find out that this very error Abraham made, God never raised any issue about it, not once. Check your Bible very well. God never said, okay, because you have married Hagar, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. No. It's as if nothing happened. It's as if nothing has happened. In fact, if you get to chapter 17, the next thing is God spoke to him. The mistake. But God was quiet about it. As if nothing has happened. But later on, we realized that it was an error. Now, please, let's learn to wait on the Lord. Let's understand that He's a God of time and season. And our family life, we are going to move, or God is going to move with us in that same times and seasons. So when you are not having it so beautiful now, it's not going to last forever. So don't mount pressure on one another. Woman, don't manipulate your husband. Don't manipulate him. It's a witchcraft spirit to manipulate people. And let me give this counsel. No matter how spiritual you are as a woman, you can never assume the headship of your family. Did you hear what I said? No matter how spiritual you are, God, you know why? God has never given the woman that role. It is given to the man. No matter how foolish that man is, may your husband not be foolish. May all our men be taught of the Lord. Come on, please, let's say loud, amen. Because they determine the direction of the family. Woman here, if your husband should tell you, you are not going to church, you are not doing certain thing, and he didn't permit you, it will be hard. So I'm praying for all men. May we all be taught by the Lord to lead our family in the right paths. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you are here, your husband is not solid spiritual. Listen. Listen to this. You later realize it's not solid. When you marry, you thought it was a piece spiritual, but when you get into the marriage, you realize, oh my,
This is what we have to do. Number one, everyone, listen. Number one, never pray if you hear me, say I hear. Don't allow the devil to use you for your pastor. Don't hire your pastor because he's so spiritual. No, he has his own life. This is what you have to do. The issue is with your own husband. You have to stand. This is my husband. Get me. The answer I'm going to give to you is accept your husband. That this is my husband. You see, when these three have said is in place, then you have to do this next thing. If you are following me, wave your right hand. Okay. The next thing you now have to do is look for a spiritual leader, preferably the one you are submitted to. If you are a very good Christian, your pastor should be your spiritual leader. If you are a very good, please underline that. There are many people who go to churches and then their spiritual leader is one prophet on one mountain. That's imbalance. A lot of people have their pastor, but they have their prophet somewhere else. No, that's imbalance. It's not going to help you. So if you have this balanced Christian life, your pastor is your prophet and your leader, then the work begins there. Are you following? The work begins there. How? You have to be hungry enough. So now make it your duty to connect that man, your husband, to your spiritual leader by wisdom. So say wisdom. You don't have to buy, but you need enough wisdom to lead him, draw him close to your spiritual leader. Upon them you have seen the grace of God, and then your husband is under correct speech, then you can be rest assured that things begin to get all right. Are you following me? Never, no matter how spiritual you are as a woman, even if you are the Deborah, never take the leadership position in your family. Otherwise, you will manipulate your husband. You will take over the position God has not given to you, and you will run down your family. In fact, not too long, the family will rise against you. I'm telling you, they will rise against you. Even God himself will not be happy with you because you are now doing things out of the principle of God. If you hear these things, can you wave your right hand to Jesus? May God grant you wisdom. So at the end of the day, Abraham listened to his wife. We didn't know how the woman got it. Was able to do it. Abraham used to hear the voice of God. Now heard the voice of his wife. So at the end of the day, even though God was quiet, God did not raise matter about it. They had their fingers burnt. In Genesis 21. You know, scripture was so clear here. Before Genesis 21, and we saw, and we looked at, you know, how they have to pay for the error they made. Look at this verse 16.
The Bible says that all of these things that happened in the family of Abraham and Sarah was just 10 years into them dwelling into the promised land. They were just 10 years in the promised land. Listen, God is the God of time and season. Are you listening to me? He has times for you. And he has planned for your family. So you have to wait for your time. Are they in the right place? They were in the right place. The Bible called it the land of Canaan. That is the promised land. But for impatience, we don't know how Abraham eventually listened to the voice of his wife. And it's because something went wrong. Do you remember? In the Garden of Eden, he took devil to also manipulate the woman. These women, let's be careful. Don't manipulate the husband. Don't. And I'm saying this again. I'm stressing this. No matter how spiritual, how sound you are spiritually, never take the headship from your husband. Never. God's principle is the man shall be the head of the woman. The best thing you can do, whoever you have submitted yourself to, help that man, draw him closer, let him also submit. Then he will learn to grow and do things correctly. So Genesis 21, God came for them. Their time has come. So they had Isaac. I'd like to announce to somebody, your own time of the fulfillment of God's prophecy will also come to pass. Not too long from now, it shall come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. So they had Isaac. But look at verse 9. My goodness. Can you project Genesis 21 from verse 9 for me? Genesis 21 from verse 9. Okay. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Problem started. So at that point, she told Abraham, send her away and the son. And Abraham was like, no, I can't send her away. Because at that moment, that son becomes Abraham's son, not Sarah's son. What does that tell you? Already there is division in that family. And God has to quickly help them to say that, Abraham, this time around, I am the one speaking in the voice of your wife. May you recognize God's voice in the voice of men. And when devil is the one speaking, may you be so sensitive to recognize the voice in the mighty name of Jesus. So God have to come in this time around. Please, whoever is speaking to you, check for the voice of God in the voice of men. Please check. Sarah told Abraham, Maria, he didn't check. He just married. But this time around, he said, woman speak. Send her away. He will refuse this time. God said, listen to her. If you will have my promise intact, you better listen. I don't think it was very difficult for Abraham to send away, because at that moment, thinking now God's blessing me, I have two sons. God is saying, no, you didn't have two sons. You may have two sons, but I have one. I am going to bless him for your sake, but the one who carried the covenant I told you about is Isaac. So send this one away. It will trouble my promise. Can I pray for you? Whatever will trouble the promise of God in your life,
the errors, the mistakes you have made that is going to bring trouble to the promise of God in your life. May God open your eyes to it and you correct yourself in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And now listen, whatever God will have you do to correct yourself in advance for the trouble that is coming, you better do it. It might look painful today, but it will save you a great deal in years to come. It's going to save you a great deal. Whatever you have to stop, probably you have to stop your relationship with certain people. You are too close with certain people. I used to tell people, what are you doing with your ex? What are you doing? For what? You say, we are just friends. Friends for what? It's going to affect your relationship, your own marriage. What are you doing with friends who are telling you bad things about your spouse? Cut off if you are wise enough. Any extended family who put pressure on your marriage, cut off from them. Any relationship at all that put unnecessary pressure on your marriage, cut off. It is just wise to cut off, no matter the benefit you are getting today. You see your wife complaining about your closeness with certain lady, with certain persons. And actually, you are sincere. You are not hiding anything. But your spouse, your wife, your husband keep complaining about that relationship. It's just wise to cut off that relationship. So for Abraham, God told him, you have to cut off this relationship. Send her away and the son. And he sent him away. You remember when they were going, it was water, right? Later on, you hear scripture says, and Abraham gave, what's his name? Ishmael gift. So he's not just beyond that, but he got from his father. You see, there was a clear separation. This is the heir. Don't come around him. All of you. You know, later on, he married Keturah, right? He had many muscles. He gave them gifts. But for the beloved son, the one who carried the covenant, no pressure around him. Please don't put pressure around your family. No unnecessary pressure around your family. Because what you are getting today as a benefit, you may eventually lose it and even lose your family and marriage along. God forbid in Jesus' name. Let me wrap up the word of the Lord today. Number one, don't listen to the voice of pressure around you. Number two, have you gotten that number one? Have you gotten the number one? Don't listen to the voice of pressure around you. Don't listen. Number two, if God created you, if God is the one who created you, you cannot amount to anything outside Him. So take care of your salvation. Don't joke with it. Have a standing with God. You can't do without God who created you. Number three, right? This is just my summary. If God created marriage, you can't marry or run your home against the purpose of God, because God has purpose for your family. So your marriage, know your place. Know that it takes more than love for marriage to work. Love is just one part. There are several things that make marriage work. So you need knowledge. It is knowledge that make marriage to work. And I've told you today, don't influence your husband negatively, no matter who you are, husband, wife. Don't take advantage of his weakness. Finally, let me tell you this, which is my point number four summary. Don't agree to disagree with God. Don't agree with your spouse to disagree with God. In other words, don't unanimously disobey God. What we saw in the life of Abraham and Sarah is that they unanimously agree to disagree with God, to disobey God. And they regretted it. Of course, God didn't talk about it like I said, but it is the same trouble. That same one error is what is troubling the whole world today. Can I tell you that one mistake from you can torment your generation forever? You will have the fulfillment of the promise, but the mistake you make will keep tormenting your children. So be careful. I used to tell people, you are going through pain in your marriage, please take it easy. Think of your decision. You just bring me the comfort I needed, the short time comfort. And then it's going to bring a long time trouble to me and generation after me. Please think before you take your decision. And let your salvation count when you are taking your decision. You know, when people want to do certain things and they find out that it is outside Christianity, it's not Christian. They are deliberately put away from God. You say, take God from there. Take things. When you weigh God from your life or your decision now, then what is left about your life is carcass. I'm just telling you the truth. Take God away from your life, then what is left? So please, don't allow the pain of the moment to allow you make eternal error. You remember also Ananias and Sapphira, Acts of Apostles chapter 5. The man made the decision. This money I'm going to divide. The man says he's wife also in. Your spouse is going to make a mistake. May you be hearing God and standing your ground with the word. Please say amen for yourself. Listen. Anyone can get to that point. Anyone. But me, your spouse. The day you are about falling, you are about making mistake. They do have your spouse. Who will stand to save my husband, my wife? No, that's not the will of God. Even when your spouse, it is not enough to do. May your need be strong to be there praying and praying and say, God, so that is the essence, the lesson, the one necessity. Not in our Christian work, but which is family life. It's going to bring peace. Sending our children and children to children. Are you blessed with it? I don't know the prayer point you are going to pray. I don't know what dropped in your heart as the word of the Lord. Come forth to us. But whatever it is, the Holy Spirit has dropped your spirit, man. Can you just pray? Can you just pray? Pray God help you to keep standing spiritually. Pray that God will help you to keep standing. That no matter present in your family, in your family life, God will help you to stand strong. That you will not be the one surrendering to the voice of prayer. And then you are speaking what God is not speaking. You are speaking the voice of pressure. And you pray, I won't speak the voice of pressure in my family, but I will speak your voice. I will speak your voice. Today there is financial challenge. No, I won't speak the voice of financial challenge. I will speak your voice. I will speak your voice. I will speak your voice. Woman, pray for yourself. I will not take advantage of my husband. I won't manipulate him. Even when I know his weakness, I will not manipulate him. You will help me to be a godly woman. Can you also pray that God will help your husband to be a correct man? He will keep hearing God and leading your family in the will of God. The woman, can you also pray for yourself again? That you will be submissive enough to follow your husband. No matter who you are, even if you are not financially buoyant, you are financially buoyant more than your husband, that you will be submissive. You have more qualification than your husband. That does not qualify you to be his head. Your qualification does not qualify you to be the head of your husband. But that you will be submissive enough despite your achievements. Are you older than your husband? It's very possible that with your age, you will submit yourself to follow your husband. And then pray that that husband that you are following, he will follow Christ. He will follow Christ. Pray that God is going to bless your family. At this moment, can you just pray for your family? My family is blessed. Our needs are met. Our needs are met. To every storm in my family, peace be still. Peace be still. Can you declare peace be still to every storm in your family? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Bring your prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Say louder, amen. Your family is blessed. To every storm, peace be still. May God help you, every woman, to be godly, goodly, humble enough, no matter your level of achievement, to follow your husband, never to manipulate him. I pray for every man that you will be a follower of Christ. And as you follow Christ, you will be able to lead your family correctly. Thank you, our Father. Every family understand my voice, we are blessed. Every single that you have to marry, maritally, you will not miss it. The relationship you need with God now to keep growing. And keep growing so that when it's time to marry, you can know the man of God with ease. Receive that grace for this day forward. Thank you, Abba Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are perfect. Are you, Jesus? Are you blessed today? Thank you, Lord, for the glory in the name of Jesus. Glory to you.